Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's word. Enjoy the message.
Psalm chapter 84. I'm going to read verse 10 to start off our message today. The psalmist wrote, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day, one moment in God's presence than thousands upon thousands upon thousands outside of it. And Lord, I pray over these next few moments as we get into your word, that your word will get into us. Help me, Lord, to faithfully share what you've put on my heart from this text that we'll be in today. And then help me to step out of the way that we might encounter you. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Beyond that which lies outside the scope of ordinary experience. We've been in a series called Beyond. We've talked about God's beyond love, God's beyond power. Today, we end this series by talking about God's beyond presence. The beyond presence of God, beyond anything that we could ask for or imagine, that we could come up with on our own, anything that we could even explain. It's beyond. God's beyond presence. Lacey and I started dating many moons ago when we were pretty young. It's been a lot of years ago. And after a first date, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I could tell she really liked me. Like, there was not a doubt in my mind driving away in that first date. Like, this girl, she likes me a lot. Now, let me be honest, I actually liked her a lot, too. And we went on that second date and the third and the fourth date, and we found that we just loved being together. And there were all sorts of dates that we had. We'd go on a picnic. The type of food didn't really even matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're just together. We'd go on walks, go and putt-putt. I don't even like putt-putt. We'd go putt-putt a couple times. Myself and a friend of mine, who's now a missionary in the DR, dressed up like cowboys and surprised our girls and picked them up and went to a rodeo. We're not even into rodeos, although they are kind of cool. I'd never been to one before. But for us, it just didn't matter what we were doing. It was all about being together. Phone calls are nice. Texts are nice most of the time. Cards are nice. But come on, parents, grandparents, friends, isn't it better just being together? I'm talking about presence when you're around, when you're close. And the Bible actually talks a lot about God's presence as you read throughout Scripture. And one of the Hebrew words used to describe God's presence, to articulate God's presence, is the Hebrew word panim, which is translated often in the Old Testament as face. And it speaks of having a face-to-face, a close, personal, special, relational encounter with God. And there are many ways to define God's presence. We could say it's God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's his closeness. One that we'll put up here for you, just a basic definition of God's presence, although there are many, would just be this: the unexplainable, incomparable closeness of God himself. The closeness of God himself. I mean, God, as you know, is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. Nothing escapes his glance and his gaze. He is everywhere, and he is close to us. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, many of us in this place are believers. We're followers of Christ. It means the Spirit of God, Romans chapter 8 teaches this, is in us. The Spirit of God. I mean, how can you be even closer than that to God? The Spirit of God is in us. But there are times when we become more fully aware of the closeness of God. And then it's game on. Some might call that the manifest presence of God. I mean, we know God is in us. He's around us. He is everywhere. But those moments when we become aware through revelation, our eyes are open like, whoa. And you might hear people say, God's in the house. Or God just stepped in. I mean, did God just literally step in that moment? God was already there, but what? We became aware of the closeness of God, the closeness of his presence. And I think it might be good at the beginning of this message to share four important truths about God's presence. The first is this: there is more of God to experience. There is more of God to experience. None of us in this place have arrived. None of us in this place have experienced all there is to experience of God. You think about Moses, who spent 40 days on Mount Sinai in the presence of God. The Bible says that a man named Enoch walked with God and then was no more. Now, how did that all happen? How did that look? I don't know. I heard one preacher a long time ago when I was a kid, I never forgot it, said that maybe it was like Enoch and God were walking along talking, spending time together, and they had been spending so much time together that at some point, and they had walked so far together, that at some point, God turns to Enoch and says, you know what? We're closer to where I live than where you live. Why don't you just come with me? The Bible says Enoch walked with God and then was no more. You think about people in scriptures that had this relationship with God and experienced things that I still want to experience. I mean, think about even Lazarus. Lazarus died, dead, gone, in the tomb. Jesus comes and says, nope, not today, come on out. He comes out, and then just a little bit later in scripture, we read they're eating dinner together. And you're like, well, Pastor Keith, do you want to be dead and in a tomb? Hey, if it brings glory to God, we're all going there anyway. We're all going to die. If it could be a way that brings glory to God, people come to know Jesus, and then I get to spend dinner with Jesus, come on. There's more of God to experience. There's more of God to experience. In our pastoral staff meeting this past Monday, I posed this question to those who were in the room. I said, I want you to think about this and then share briefly. They're pastors, so I got briefly, all right? Briefly share a moment, an encounter with God that changed the trajectory of your life. I wish you could have been in the room. They went around the room and were sharing. One person shared about a time that they were in the Word of God, and God opened their eyes, gave them revelation. See, we read the Word. We want the Word to get into us, and how that happens is God opening our eyes. The Holy Spirit, boom, enlightening us, so that we can understand what is being given to us through his word and what is revealed about God. And this person had a sin struggle that they had in the past. And as they were reading the word of God, God gave them revelation about something in the word of God, about his grace. And when God gave that revelation, boom, he began walking in freedom from that point forward, from that sin struggle. One shared about a vision that God gave them that changed the trajectory of their life. One person shared about how, for him, it's just been Sunday after Sunday after Sunday over the last few decades of just leaning into more of God, leaning into more of God, and through that, it has changed his life. There were a number of other encounters that they shared, a calling from God to do what he's wanting them to do, and they got it, like, okay, and they accepted that. I mean, there are times maybe you've experienced a prophetic word, you've experienced a moment where God stepped in and you became aware of his closeness and you had peace in a very, very difficult, challenging situation, a peace that was unexplainable. Maybe it's a conviction of the Holy Spirit where God just leans in, he just leans in. I know there are times when I am in conversation with someone and someone brings up someone. This has happened over the years with lots of different people, but a name comes up or in conversation it goes a certain direction and I feel like in my gut, like a physical reaction, like, ooh, I should not go there. That would be displeasing to the Lord. To say something about that person, to go along with this conversation. And I get literally like uneasy in here. I don't know if it's where, it's just here somewhere. And it's the Spirit of God saying, ooh, that would not be pleasing to the Most High. It's the presence of God. It's the awareness of the closeness of God. And I'm telling you, there is more of God to experience. And when we hear testimonies and we hear people share an encounter with God that changed the trajectory of their life, I don't know about you, but it makes me want to experience God more. I want some of that, right? You hear this or that? I want to experience that. I want more of God. The second truth I want to share as we begin this message is that God wants you to experience more of him. He wants it. He invites us to experience more of him. He wants us to find him. When our kids were older and we played hide and seek, we probably have in the last couple years at some point, and they're old, but it's still a fun game. And when I play hide and seek with them as they're older, it's all about winning. Winning. I don't want to be found. They don't want to be found. I have hidden and then found a great spot. And they're like, okay, we're all done. And they're going off doing their own thing. And I still stay there for a little while longer. I'm just like, I won this game. Eventually, I crawl out and join the rest of the family in life. It's about winning. But when the kids were younger, parents, grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. When they're younger, it's not about winning. When they're younger and you play hide and go seek, it's all about being discovered, isn't it? You're not hiding in a way that you're concealed. Sometimes you're hiding even out in the open. Like there's a door there and you just hide like right there beside it. Like you're part of the wall. And they're waddling around looking for daddy or grandpa or uncle or whatever. There's you know, waddling along looking, and they're so excited, like, ah, the expectation. And if they walk right past you, like you make noises like woof, woof, woof. And then they come and look, and you're like, as if they can't see you. It's all about being discovered. That's the joy, right? When they see you and their eyes light up because they found you, oh, that's a moment, right? You're like, boom, can life get any better? It's all about the discovery. God wants to be found. He's not hiding, just hoping that people don't find out anything about him. He wants to be found. I love that about our God. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, a prophet comes and gives a word from God to King Asa, and this is what he said. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, you will find him. If you seek him, you will find him. There's more of God to experience. God wants us to experience more of him. Thirdly, the pursuit for more of God is our choice. It's our choice. The pursuit for more of God is our choice. I mean, God says, come near to me, and I'll come near to you. If you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. It's a choice. Lacey hit on this last week powerfully in her message with the question, do you want more of God? Because if you do want more of God, there is more of God to experience. It's our choice. And then fourthly, I would say this. Experiencing more of God is what you were born for. We read this passage in Revelation chapter 4 where the elders are throwing their crowns down before the throne of God. And they're yelling at the top of their lungs in worship, you are worthy, God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they were created and have their being. I mean, these elders in heaven, even right now, are like, what? We could be going and doing this or that, but we don't want to leave. We don't want to leave. They're like, can you believe this? Are you kidding me? I get to worship God. I get to seek him. I get to discover more about him. The reality is that we were created by God for God. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism reads, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. I love that. Those guys got it. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's why we were created, to honor him, to glorify him, to know him, to discover him, and to enjoy him. God wants us to experience more of him. We were born for this. Augustine, centuries ago, said, thou, O God, thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee. Our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee. No amount of accumulation, no amount of accomplishments can ever, will ever, could ever fully satisfy a person. Because no matter what we accomplish and what we accumulate and what we experience outside of God, we come up feeling empty. Give it a couple days, give it a couple weeks, give it a couple moments, and we come up feeling empty. Because none of that was ever created to satisfy us. I submit it's only God and his close presence that can fully satisfy, that can fully complete, fully fulfill a person. And that's what the psalmist discovered. We know that because of what he said: better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I've experienced a lot of things the psalmist is saying, but better is one day, one moment in his presence than 1,000 elsewhere. And so in this message, how can we experience more of God? How can we experience more of God's closeness in our life? And believers in this place, the Spirit of God is in you, but how can you experience more of God? Well, there are a lot of passages we could go to in our scriptures, but I would like to ask you to turn to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. We're going to be in chapter 2 and 3 of this passage, and it's an account of a boy named Samuel who experienced the presence of God. Now, I want to say, as we dig into this regarding Samuel, that he did have a couple things going against him before he experienced the presence of God. The first was that he did not have the same pedigree of others who were in line at that time in the Old Testament to experience the presence of God. He just didn't have it. He just didn't have it. I mean, think about yearbooks as we come to the end of the school year. And I don't know if they still do, but back in the day, we would write things in there, you're like, most likely to succeed. We'd vote on things, most likely to become president or to own their own business or get their first $1 million or whatever. We'd vote on those things. Maybe you write some notes in there in the yearbook, give it to them as memories. And we based those things on, those votes, we based them on how a person looked, what a person had accomplished in their time. So we're like, yeah, I could project out and see that they would be most likely to X, Y, Z. But see, God doesn't roll like that. You can't look at a person's outward appearance and use anything from that outward appearance as a predictor of whether or not they're going to experience God's closeness and presence. God just doesn't roll like that. He doesn't need to be concerned with the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And see, after the Israelites came out of Egypt, God instituted how they were to encounter God, how they were to worship God, all pointing to the coming of Jesus who would fulfill the law. And one of the things that God did was he set up a system for there to be priests. And God had Moses appoint Aaron, Moses' brother, and Aaron's sons to be the priests, generation after generation after generation after generation. That was God's plan. And they were to be priests. Aaron was the first one coming out of Egypt, and then it would go on through the line. Now, 300 years after that time, after they had come out of Egypt, and Aaron starts being the priest, 300 years later, there was a man by the name of Eli who found himself in that post as the high priest for Israel. In that period of time, the priests came, Eli being one of them, came from the line of the fourth son of Aaron, Ithamar. And that's just how it was during that period of time. The priests came from that line of the fourth son of Aaron. Now, unfortunately, Samuel did not come from that line. And so Samuel didn't have the pedigree. He grew up not having the pedigree of others who would have come from that line in order to really, truly experience God's presence the way that a high priest would. He didn't come from that line. So naturally, he was left out. He was disqualified in many ways. And I just wonder how many of us at different times in our life, maybe even right now, have felt disqualified from experiencing more of God's presence. Maybe because of our past, some choices that we made or are making right now, we're like, that just disqualifies me from God's presence. I wonder how many of us in this place at different times have felt left out, not just left out, you know, being picked at recess or whatever, but being left out of what God wants to do. You're like, man, that person, you know, they came from a certain type of home or they grew up in church and I'm really new to the Bible. I don't know much. You can feel left out. You can feel like God's passing you over because that person, they're just it's nice, you know, like they're just special for whatever reason. It's like, well, God must really, really, really love them. And we can feel left out. But what we see in this account in 1 Samuel is that God is not a respecter of persons. As we dig into the life of Samuel, we see that God doesn't show favoritism. Isn't that awesome? that he doesn't show favoritism. Interestingly, with Samuel, he had another problem, and that was that he was a young boy. And you're like, well, why is that problem? We value children and the next generation. We do, and we should. But you have to understand, at this time, and up to this point in scriptures, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a time when God spoke to a child, and then it was recorded in scripture. God spoke to men and women. This was actually the period of judges. God did not call any kids to be a judge. You don't see really any record up to this point of God specifically speaking to a child. What you see is God speaking to men and women, calling them to do great things and speaking to them and them having encounters with God. But then what we find out in this passage as we get into it is that God is getting ready to speak to a young boy. Once again, God doesn't show favoritism. It's not about age to him. It's not about outward beauty to him. It's not about what your upbringing was to him. God just loves. God just wants people to experience more of his presence. And what this means is that every single person in this room is a candidate for God's presence. Every single person in this room, isn't that amazing? Every one of us are a candidate. Everyone's watching online right now, a candidate to experience God's presence in a new and a fresh and a living way. You are a candidate for God's presence to be in you, to be on you, and to be flowing through you. So, from this passage, what are some things that contribute toward that? Well, the first one I would say in studying this passage is that purity matters. Purity matters. Now, Eli, at this time, had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were next in line to be the priest. One of them would have been the priest. That's just how that had gone for centuries. That's just, it was scripted. Everybody knew it. But the Bible says this about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, said that they are worthless and they were wicked. And they had no regard for the Lord. I mean, the description in this passage of young Samuel, this little boy, and the description of Hophni and Phinehas, who were next in line to be priests, is a study in contrast. The Bible tells us that the boy, Samuel, ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. And at the same time, the young boy Samuel, who doesn't come from that line, is ministering before the Lord under Eli the priest. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, are stealing from God's sacrifices. People are bringing sacrifices to worship the Lord, to honor him, and they were stealing some of it for themselves. And the Bible says that they were showing contempt for God. You have over here, you have Samuel. Samuel's dedicated as a little baby to the Lord and then brought to the temple as just a little guy, and he's ministering before the Lord, and the Bible says that he grew up in the presence of the Lord. At the same time this is happening, in the same village, the same community, the same little quadrant of that town, as he's growing up in the presence of the Lord, right close to him are Hophni and Phinehas, who are sleeping around, sleeping with some of the women who are coming to the temple. And God saw everything. I want you to know this. Hophni and Phinehas, they were next in line to experience God's presence. Could have experienced God's presence, but they didn't. Because purity matters. Purity matters. What you allow in influences what you will experience. Let me say it another way. What you run after determines what you will catch. Purity matters. Purity in heart, purity in thought, purity in deed. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Purity matters. Think about it like this. If you could just picture this with me. There's a young man, and he's found the woman of his dreams, and they've dated, they've fallen in love, and so he comes to that point, and he works hard, and he buys a ring, and gets down on a knee in that special place, wherever that is, and he opens it up, and he's just beaming, and he looks up at this beautiful woman, and he says to her, oh, will you marry me? promise to commit myself to you for the rest of my life. Except for 2 weekends a year that I want to spend with my old girlfriend. How would that lady respond? Come on. Think about this. The man gets on his knees and says to this woman of his dreams, like, oh, will you marry me? I love you, but I also love porn. What? I mean, what's the point of saying that? Here's the point. God doesn't share. What you allow in will influence what you experience. What you run after will determine what you catch. Hophni and Phinehas ran after sin, and they caught it in God's judgment. You can read about that in the text. Samuel, as a young boy, ran after God, and he caught him. What you run after will determine what you catch. Purity matters. What else do we see in this passage that contributes to us experiencing more of the closeness of God in our life and our families? Here it is, proximity. Proximity matters. When I say proximity, I'm talking about nearness in time and space and relationship. Nearness, closeness. Proximity matters. Where you are matters. Where you are matters. I mean, psychologists and researchers talk about this in a book called Click, where the single most prominent factor in people being friends is not personality and is not shared interests. It's simple proximity. It's just being close. I mean, think about this. Let's say you sit back there every single Sunday morning in first service. Every single Sunday morning you sit there. We're creatures of habit, and so often people sit around the same places, and so you probably get to know some of those people more than you get to know maybe the people over here. Now, these people are cool too. They're nice too. You know that. But you might not know their names because you usually sit here, and that's okay to sit wherever you sit. But you see how it is. Unless you move around, you're in the same spot, and you're probably around some of the same people, and you know their names, right? You know things about them, and that's great. Proximity matters. Here's what I want to say. Where you are influences what you will experience. Where you are influences what you will experience. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2. It says, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Did you catch that? Samuel brings in his sleeping bag and his pillow and sleeps close to the ark of God. Now, what was the Ark of God? Well, the Ark of God was this covenantal box that God had the Israelites make after coming out of Egypt. And in it were the gold jar of manna. In it was Aaron's staff that had budded. All these you can read about in the Pentateuch of our Bible, the first 5 books. And also included in the Ark of the Covenant was the stone tablets of the covenant. We're talking about the Ten Commandments inscribed by God. Boom, in this ark. And the Bible also teaches us that above the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament tabernacle was the mercy seat. And this is what God said about this setup, Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place, and above it, the mercy seat. God said this, there I will meet with you. There I will come. There I will be close. And we can't miss the implications of this as this little boy Samuel, who doesn't have his mom there because she gave him for the work of the Lord, mom not telling him what to do, he grabs his sleeping bag and his pillow and he's like, I want to be as close as possible to this. I want to be as close as possible to God. Where you are influences what you will experience. And Samuel was not going to miss one night being close by. Oh, are you getting this? He couldn't miss the opportunity to lay down and to rest and to go to sleep just thinking about God, being in close proximity to God. Do you remember back, and this dates me, but come on, dates a lot of us, back when people could smoke cigarettes in restaurants and airplanes, and that's just what, you know, for my generation growing up in the 80s and into the 90s, I mean, that just was normal. That was just normal. I remember being on a flight, going on a missions trip, and I got done, I felt like I had smoked like 3 packs of cigarettes, and I was only in eighth grade. I'm like, this is not good. I don't know if my lungs are going to be able to, wherever they are, I don't think they're going to be able to handle this. But you remember, if you went into a bowling alley or a skating rink or a restaurant, you came out and what? You smelled like smoke. There's probably like smoke coming off of you. You just smelled like smoke because smoking cigarettes has a way of just getting on a lot of other people, right? It gets on you, gets into your clothing. There's a residue there. There's a mark that you have been somewhere. And Samuel just kept rolling up his sleeping bag and laying it out in his pillow and kept sleeping right by the presence of God as close as he could. And there was a residue. You know, there is a residue that comes from being in the close presence of God, the manifest presence of God. You go all the way back to Moses spending time with God, talking with God. When he'd come out of the tabernacle after spending time with God, remember what it said? His face was radiant. People are like, you got to cover that thing. We can't look at you. It was too bright. So he had to put a veil over his face just so he could converse and eat and have time with other people. And then when he'd go back into God's presence, he would take the veil off, boom, and there he is with God in his presence. There's a residue that happens and comes out and comes off of us when we are spending time with the Lord in his close presence. I think about camps and retreats. We promoted a couple of those today. I remember being with students and adults in altar times. And after a longer altar time of just being in the Lord's presence where people aren't in a hurry, I'm telling you, you could hardly get people to leave. They just wanted to stay. There was such love coming out of people that it was just so pure. It was the residue of being in the presence of God. I remember one time, a number of years ago, I was an adult and praying and being prayed for, and I was on the ground so weak in my body that I could not move. It's not like I didn't want to move. No, I couldn't move. I literally couldn't move for a really, really, really long time. My flesh felt so weak, but I didn't care because my spirit was alive. And there are these moments that we have and can have in the Lord, not that it has to look like this or look like that, but just being close to the Lord that change the trajectory of our life. And there was a residue that was coming off of Samuel as he's spending time with the Lord, so much so that Eli, the high priest, you know, the chosen one, the one that had come through the line, he was educated, experienced. He came at least on one occasion to little boy Samuel and asked him, what is God saying? Come on. There was a residue that was coming off of Samuel, and Eli knew it. Something is up here. It's the presence of God. Where you are influences what you will experience. So let me challenge you and encourage you in what many of you are already doing, and it's this. Be around the people of God. Be around the people of God. Friends are like an elevator. They either take you up or down. Choose wisely. Be around the people of God. Not like we can be around the people of God all the time. I'm not saying that. We need to reach people and love people and do family and all of that. But here, it is so important for us to be around the people of God. For us to rub shoulders in the altars with people that are seeking God. For us to have worship times. For us to be in life groups where we're growing in God and in life and in friendships and encouraging each other. Be around the people of God. Secondly, be around the Word of God. Be around the Word of God. The Bible says this about Samuel. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his Word. God wants to reveal himself to you today, tomorrow, and the next day of this week through his Word. His Word is living and active. He wants to reveal himself to you. Open it. Open it. Read. If you're like, well, where do I start? Start in the New Testament in the book of Mark. Although there are 65 other books, I would say is a great place to start too. But start in the book of Mark. If you're very, very new to the Bible, begin to read about Jesus and what he said, what he did, what he accomplished. Be around the Word of God. Pastor Pat referenced Charles Spurgeon a few moments ago. One of my favorite quotes from Spurgeon was this: a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Be around the Word of God. Be around the Word of God. Thirdly, be around the work of God. Be around the work of God. The Bible says the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. And it says again, chapter 3, verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. I mean, it's mentioning this again and again. This word means to serve, to contribute. He was serving and he was contributing to the work of God. He was helping people know God. Be around the work of God, because when we're around the work of God, we're around other people. And we're connecting with them, we're getting to know them, we're doing something together, we're having shared vision, shared mission, shared heart, shared values. And it encourages us. It encourages us. This morning I looked out at my office window and I saw Roger Thornton and Bill Frohlo come in early this morning, having parked in the way back so there would be spaces for single moms and those who are older in our congregation. They parked in the way back, hiked it in together, spending time with each other, and then coming in and serving with each other for the work of the Lord. Be around the work of God. It is encouraging. It is encouraging. Often we get more out of it than we put into it, because we're doing something for the Lord and we're doing something with others. We're moving forward. Be around the work of God. Finally, be around the house of God. Be around the house of God. Now, I know that God does not dwell, like the only place that he dwells is in a temple or in a building made with human hands. It's very clear in Scripture. But there is something very, very special about a place that is dedicated 100% from its inception and continually throughout decades for the work of God. There's something special about that. There's something special about this campus that we're on right now. Something special about this facility that we're in right now. You might not know this, but years and years and years ago, this place, imagine this, in Midland, was covered with trees. Woods. And then God began to stir some people's hearts. And they began to walk through this land that we are now on, 6100 Sweet Avenue, with trees all around, begin to walk through the trees and begin to claim this land for God. And they begin to pray for a place where people could encounter God. Before one tree was cut down, this place was already dedicated. It was already consecrated. There is something special about this building. I'm not just talking based on solely the blood, sweat, and tears that went into building this and purchasing it. There's so many miracle stories of how this came about. So many. I'm talking about prayer. I mean, this was not just a prayer walk. It was a consecration walk. This place is going to be for God. And as we've gone through the decades, as we've gone through year after year after year, we continue to dedicate this place to God. I believe God's presence is in every room of this building. I believe that. Now, that's not the only place that God dwells or is, and it's not the only place that you can meet with God. You can meet with God in your car. You can meet with God in your room, at the altar, as your kids go to bed at night and you're praying with them, kneeling down at their bed. You can meet with God anywhere, because God is everywhere. But there is something special about a place dedicated for the people of God to encounter God. You might not know this, but there are times when people drive past, and it's happening even on a Sunday morning, and they've never been there before, and sometimes it's been where they've never even driven on this street. They just happen to be driving on this street, and God has drawn them into the service. There are people that come Sundays, I mentioned that, at times throughout the week. We've never met them before, and they're just drawn in. They're like, I don't know why I'm here. It's the presence of God. Because we have dedicated this place to be a place where we experience God's presence. And it's not the only place, but it's a place where we come together. God's presence is real. And God knew before one brick was even laid for this church that he was going to be transforming lives. He's going to be saving people, filling them with the Spirit, healing marriages, transforming their situations, bringing about miracles, building up faith. Be around the house of God. Be around the house of God. Have your families around the house of God. I want to just take this moment to encourage you once again, as we've been talking about this for a month, to do whatever you can to be at the Spiritual Emphasis Weekend this coming weekend. Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, Sunday morning services, and then Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We encourage you to come out, be a part of this. Let's come into the house of God and encounter God together. We're going to be worshiping our Lord. We're going to be hearing the word from Don Miller, who is the superintendent of the Southern Missouri District of the AG. Long title, awesome man. He and his wife are both coming, and we'll share some stories of our personal relationship with them throughout this weekend. But they are coming just to minister the word, and then we're going to get in the altar times and just seek the Lord. I encourage you. Come on, even if you can't make all of the services, come to the ones that you can. Try to make it a priority. Be around the people of God in the house of God, because where you are influences what you experience. So, you might say, well, Pastor Keith, I'm by God's grace, I'm walking in purity because what I allow in influences what I experience, and I'm here today. I'm in proximity. Proximity matters because where I am influences what I experience. So what now? And what I want to encourage you with is this from our passage, is that it's not as complicated as you might think. It's not. Think about this young boy, Samuel. One night, Samuel is laying down to go to sleep near the ark of God, and all of a sudden, he hears a voice calling his name, and he pops up. He's like, well, here I am. Here I am. And then he runs to Eli, because he thought Eli called him during the night. He runs to Eli, the priest, who is sleeping somewhere else, like, hey, here I am. What do you need? And Eli's like, go back to bed. I did not even say anything. Unless I talked in my sleep, I didn't say anything. So Samuel runs back, goes back to sleep once again, second time. Samuel, Samuel. And he pops up. He's like, here am I. Here I am. And he runs to Eli again, like, what do you need? This happened the second time. It happened the third time. And finally, Eli recognized what's happening here. And he's like, Samuel, next time you go back to bed, lay down, and if you hear that voice again, say, here I am to God. And so he did. And Samuel goes, runs, lays back down. I think it's because little boys, they always run. So I'm assuming. The Bible didn't say he ran, but I'm just assuming he ran. Ran, lays back down, goes to sleep. Here's the voice again, Samuel, Samuel. And he's like, here I am. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Sometimes we think it's so complicated to experience the presence of God. It's not. What we learn from this passage is a simple, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Speak, I'm listening. Here am I need you. You see what I'm going through, I need you. I'm dialed in, I'm running towards you. My heart's there, I'm seeking you. Here am I, here am I. Worship team, would you please come at this time? Here am I, here am I. Lord, I want more of you. And I believe in these next few moments that as we lean into the Lord through our worship, through our times of just being in his presence, not being in a hurry, that God's going to be glorified. He's going to be worshiped. He's going to be praised. And I believe that God wants to reveal and help you to be aware of his closeness. And he might be bringing peace into you. He might put a burden on your heart for a lost person that you need to pray for. He might just bring a dose of his joy that is just unspeakable and full of glory. He might want to come in and just speak something to you. He might want to encourage you. He might want to convict you. He might want to clarify something. God can do whatever he wants. But in this place, I believe we have opportunity, whether you're 12 years old or 82, to lean into the Lord.
You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.